Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And today we're going to talk about resistance. How we resist knowing what we're afraid to know. And it's a tough subject matter. I've asked two good friends to be on the show with me who work with a lot of people and have done a lot of their own self-discovery and understand the issues that we're going to be talking about, which is, you know, some of us are really interested to know more and about ourselves, about life. I work as an intuitive. I give people insights that they are in wonder about often, and yet do they really want to hear it or not? And there are a lot of people who are afraid of me. I've had people actually run away.
Me too.
You too, Steve. Yeah. And Mark too. Yep. So I want to introduce our guests. Steve Gottlieb is from Westchester and is doing amazing work with EFT, and he's also into coaching Zen skiing and Zen golf.
Golf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a Zen guy, and it's amazing the depth that he works at. And Mark Germain, welcome, Mark.
Hi.
Mark is from Long Island originally, then went out to California and back, and I knew him years ago in the city. And both of you guys have been students at Heart River Center.
Yes.
And remarkable students at that, and remarkable people. And Mark, you amaze me with your understanding of human design, the way you've tackled it and consumed it, and also the community that you've created around it is remarkable to me.
Well, yeah, it's I don't know if I've created it or it's been part of my process, but it's something I am. You know, I don't think I had a choice. It just happened, you know. The right people came along, and I accepted it. And I accepted it. And I, you know, I followed my intuition. And
we don't always attract that kind of support.
Yeah.
So you were able to. People understood that you were somebody they wanted to talk to.
Yeah.
And you still get that all the time from mm-hmm. people. Who go, oh, my gosh, this guy knows something. I want to know more about what he knows, and maybe I can help him know more also.
Yeah. It's been quite a rewarding process. It truly has.
So those of us who are on the path, mm-hmm. we get to know it because we can't help it. You know, we're doing it. You know, Steve, I've known you since you were in the corporate world and doing all kinds of normal things and resisting it basically.
Yeah. Well, doing my best not to resist it.
Yeah, no,
resistance.
It resisted itself with you because it wasn't in your design.
Once it started to fall apart, resistance was futile at that point, and that's how I got to meet you. That was very synchronistic.
Well, it was all, you know, our paths are destined, I believe, and you know, I couldn't help but become myself. and it's not an easy path. You guys know, both of you guys know how big a struggle it is when you're struggling in the normal world, because let's face it, we're not normal. Mm. We understand things, we are driven to know things, we're driven to discover in ways that a lot of people aren't. And then we want to share it. The big thing is wanting to share it.
Yeah.
You know, it's different. There are people who are hermits who learn a lot and don't share it. And I don't know. I mean, this is a station that Gary Null runs, and I've worked with Gary for decades, many decades, and he and I have always talked. We've done a lot of public speaking together. And we always say to people, because Gary has so much information, as everyone knows, we always say to people, we're not out here just informing you for you. We're informing you to pass it on. We want you to be teachers. There's no reason to just to give you information alone and not feel that it's helping the rest of the world, too.
Mm.
So both you guys understand that in big ways.
Sure.
So the issue is, you know, the struggle of being this kind of support to people, and how many people love it? I mean, they do. There's so many people who love it, but not everyone.
Mm.
And it's, you know, it makes it tough when you bump into resistance mm-hmm. in ways that really are painful to see. Especially, let's say you're working with people in a relationship, and one side of the relationship is very hungry for knowledge and self-discovery, and the other one is very resistant to it and doesn't want to know anything, and doesn't want the partner to know anything either. That's often where it gets even worse. So, and a lot of people listening to this have had these experiences. I remember many times talking to groups of people, large groups of people, working on making themselves healthier, mostly through the natural living running and race walking club that Gary and I started together about 35 years ago. And over the years, so many times I'd say, you know, how many of you are out here who, and there'd be big crowds of people, how many out here are really striving to make their lives healthier and more balanced, and yet how many of you run into resistance in your families, among your families and friends? How many of them are really very judgmental and critical of you for what you're doing? And almost everybody raises their hands.
Hmm.
Right. It's hard to be different. And, you know, in a good way, you know, years ago, I've always been different, and I've always had, like, an alternative, you know, eating style, et cetera. And years ago, there was so much judgment about it. It was really ugly. Now there's a lot more acceptance about healthy diets and all that.
I remember when I first decided to become a vegetarian, that was like 25 years ago, and compared to where I was coming from, everybody was threatened. They said, what happened? What's going on? Why are you doing this? And I said, well, you really don't want to know, because if you hear the truth, you're going to resist it. And I had to learn to stop speaking about it and go off into a corner a little bit about it, but it was something that was important to me. People are finally coming to recognize at least that they have to cook differently for me.
Yeah.
Likewise for me, too. I've been vegetarian about 12 years, so it's always been interesting, especially when you meet new groups of people that you encounter that might not be into alternative type of things and mindsets. It's an interesting process to deal with. But I don't, like yourself, Steve, you just have to surrender, and it's like it is what it is, yeah. and then they figure it out or they don't. Yeah. So
and it's so much information coming out about how important this is, what Gary Null talks about all day long. Yet mm-hmm. still, people look at you like you have two heads sometimes.
Right. And let's not make anyone wrong.
No.
Okay? Because we're different, and there are a lot of people who are resistant, but maybe they have a good reason,
mm-hmm.
you know, and their good reason is that that's how they're designed.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a brain mechanism, a genetic mechanism.
Is resistance in their design?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I also think in the context of a broader context is one's life path, you know, what they're here to do. And, you know, and sometimes there are people here who might not be here to wake up as much as others, or at least for a while. They might have a certain timing to that, if at all. So there's not, you know, it doesn't mean that everyone's going to do that. So there's also that acceptance that we can't maybe change everyone, nor should we. It's whatever's correct, and correct may be somebody who's not going to be aware or self-aware to that degree that we would like to see people, maybe, you know.
Right. And, you know, there are prophecies about 2012 that at the end of the year there's going to be really an unveiling of a lot of our resistance to become more aware and know ourselves better and know reality better. and maybe that will soften the edges, and people will, you know, be a lot easier to live with.
Well, in design, there's always a flip side, right? So even if it's people with resistance, the resistance is there for a purpose until they transcend it, and then it must open something miraculous for them.
Or they're a fulcrum for somebody else. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, there's always teachers and students every moment of every day. So, you know, they can be a good teacher. You know, we're talking about family being resistant to our different type of life, and I've experienced that, and I have to embrace it and learn from it, because I knew it wasn't going to change. It teaches you to surrender, you know, to what is, and also you can see where they're coming from a little different. And sometimes it just it is what it is. You know, there is that saying, and it's very apropos.
Well, there's so many lessons in adversity. I always say we come to this planet because of the struggle. Mm-hmm. We come here to develop compassion, greater love, through struggle. And we're building our light. And the harder the struggle, perhaps the greater the light we build. That's, you know, it's good understanding. You don't have to believe it, but I do.
I think you make a good point, Peter, because I think, you know, and I speak for myself in my own process, which you are intimately aware of through the years. You know, it has been a process and a struggle and a commitment. And then there's degrees of it, and it has evolved to a point where I have embraced it. I don't have the expectations I used to have on it. I just more in that moment. And I then can convey that kind of hope to others that I'm working with, you know, because there is a sense of hope in just allowing those things to happen and show themselves.
Well, it's a very humble path. If we were on video, people would have had a nice view of your response to that, Mark. So it's really, you know, it's humble because self-discovery is not about shoring up your ego. It helps in many ways to feel better about yourself. I work with so many people with their human designs, with intuition, so many different ways I work with people. And I love it when people are more aware of not only their weaknesses, because when you, and we'll talk more about that, but I love to enhance people's understanding of their strengths.
Wow.
You know, give people what they need to find the core that they can work from, even though around it there might be a lot of gray areas, a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And Steve, I'm thinking more of your skiing and golf Zen teachings about that. Do you want to talk about how you use that to overcome people's struggle?
Wow, I haven't thought about that, so let me see what comes up. When I do that work with people, really it's an extension of the work that I do as a personal empowerment coach and as an intuitive healer. And I'm helping them by creating a little bit more mindfulness and awareness of what they're doing, how to be in that present moment where their own inner awareness of their resistance and their emotions and their distractions come to the surface so they can see it and work with it. Because as soon as you're distracted, you're not in your whole self. And so you can't be in the zone where things in life and things evolve. When a golfer has developed the kind of skill through practice and training and taking lessons and understanding things and developed that body skill to be able to play a pretty decent game, but one day he just goes off and plays a pretty miserable game, he might be quite upset. And it's okay to be upset, but where does that disappointment come from? And what does that do in terms of your body memory as to how that upsetness affects you energetically, emotionally? So the next time you hit a bad shot, all of a sudden everything might come back and trigger that off. So if you're not aware of those kinds of things, that could set you off for a negative expectation that the next shot might be bad, and then you're not in the zone anymore. We even see this, at the top level players in those games.
Right, and so the idea is to know that life is always going to have curveballs, and it's not always you're not always going to be in a pure state of peacefulness around you. But you can find a peaceful center to resort to.
Right. So once you know that, then you realize you're not that far from it. So we teach them how to recognize it, release it, and then come back to that place where they can start again from at least neutral. center.
Yeah, yeah. But it's also, it's not resisting, it's not denial of what's going on around them. It's just knowing that along with what's going on around them, they can also be balanced by finding
absolutely
peace.
There might not any be any need to wrap their favorite, you know, golf club around a tree in anguish, you know, that just emphasizes the negative energies.
Or if they do it, they do it peacefully.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about that. I've been on a few golf courses. I don't know.
I gave up golf a long time ago because I had a slice I couldn't get rid of, and I was just saying, why am I out in this beautiful, peaceful environment being so angry?
Yeah, I know. I hear that. But I say that sort of like jokingly, but then I have people tell me more stories about how they witness that stuff all the time.
Oh, yeah. And I also think what you're speaking about, when you're someone becomes more self-aware of their process, whatever's going on, the mechanisms that are, you know, triggering this or that, that they also then can see it for that and understand it impersonally. So then they also, if they do it again, they don't beat themselves up, because I think a lot of people get down on themselves because they also mess up again. And they oh, how come I just did that again, you know? I thought, you know, he told me this and that, and, you know, and people get upset. So not taking it personally as much and understanding and being more of a detached approach and just looking at it as a mechanic almost would, and working on it that way, is trying to be as zen-like as possible, you know, cool, calm, and collected. But if you can't, at least, you know, give yourself a little break, you know.
Well, if sometimes it takes coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's we can't always be our own best friend.
No.
And so it's great to have people who we can talk to, like Steve. You do a lot of that with golfers and skiers. And
I do it more as a personal coach to help people heal their lives.
Right, but I'm using golf and skiing just as an example of how we can take something that it can be so joyful.
Right.
And it can disturb us so much.
Right.
Yeah.
And I do think if you have that coaching, even that little thing, like I said, don't beat yourself up, somebody needs to hear that sometimes. You know, they need someone that they can believe in, too, and they can trust and have confidence in,
well,
that they can understand.
That, Mark. There's two aspects of that. You know, in neuroscience, you know, you might say don't beat yourself up, and then we're told that the brain doesn't understand don't.
Yeah,
so here's beat yourself up.
Yeah, so
that's one aspect.
True.
And the other thing is that you might say, well, don't beat yourself up, but when somebody's emotionally, psychologically, you know, connected to that energetic source, you know, they might look at you and go, well, that's easy for you to say.
Of course.
Then they don't know where that resistance is coming from, and then we have to coach them to be able to release that stuff so that they can learn how to, you know, give compassion to themselves.
But let's make something clear. There is that we're all different.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think it's important for people to know that they can't emulate anybody else. They have to be themselves. But it's important for people who are coaching them to know that they can't be them all. You know, they you can't coach someone and say, be like me.
Yeah.
Because they're not.
Yeah.
But you can coach someone and say, I understand that you have to be like you, and let me try to condition you a little bit here. You know, that's what AA is for alcoholics. Mm-hmm. They don't have strong enough willpower to stop themselves. So they go to AA, and they have a buddy system, and they have people there who remind them who reflect the purpose of avoiding alcohol. And so we do need others often, and that's just an extreme, is AA. We probably need it for so many other things where it's good to have reminders. It's good. I'm in a long-term relationship. My wife often will remind me of certain habits that I either don't need or I should acquire. And even though they might be more natural for her than for me, I'm glad to be conditioned more by her. Some things just don't fit. Also, she's a different gender too. I mean, that's only a very minor part of it. But there are just different ways that we think and act, and we can't expect anyone else to think and act like we do.
Yeah, and what the beauty about being intuitive is that you can step outside of yourself and recognize what you're, is coming from you as, you know, advice that you're thinking about, whether or advice that's really true for the person that you're speaking to. And when people hear that, yeah, coming from that intuitive place, they go, wow, that's really profound, because they, yes, get that's their true self.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what,
and I think that's important, Steve, too, because when I work with people, everything is very organic, so you don't know exactly where it's going to go until it's there. You know, so you get sort of intuitively directed to what to say or what to lead to or what not to say, or because sometimes it could be that also. So I think it's important to take each person as an individual in that moment, and that's be the context, and then and go through that process and see what comes up.
Well, also, Mark, as a human design analyst, you're looking at people knowing their design, so you already can see mechanically on paper where they can't go and what they can't do.
Oh, of course. Right. That's part of it too. But even long before human design came into my process and used it, is that it still was being guided, you know, to a certain place. But what I think human design is wonderful, and this is what I love about it, is that it actually gives people the actual tools in their hand that they can use in addition with the coaching to really get somewhere solid.
It's the map about themselves.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's the genetic map about, mm-hmm, themselves. It's so fantastic.
And it's very in-depth, too. I mean, you could stay on the surface, and it really works well with a strategy type and authority. For some people might know what that means, but if you look up human design, that's the three basic things. And that is something that I would suggest, if that feels good, correct to anybody out there that they do that. But for me, and working with other people, that's been profound.
Yeah,
I'd like to talk about resistance and using human design as an example. It's such an unusual thing that when I first discovered it and talked to people about it, they resisted a lot of the ideas that I was discussing with them.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the ideas were that, well, it's too closed of a system, you know, who's, you know, they like to think that it's, you know, there's more possibility, and I understand that there's lots of possibility in human design, but I think a lot of people just shut off to not knowing what it is, thinking it's too strange, or saying, well, it's not true, I can't accept that that's how I'm designed, mm-hmm, and that's it.
And yet it is true, because we found over many, many years of working with this that it's always accurate, and because it's very concise. And the thing is that a lot of people don't want to accept it because they don't want that to be true about themselves, and yet it is.
Yeah, and I would also add, just in a broader context, it might not be correct for them, or at least yet, you know, for them to have that as part of their life. Everyone has their own trajectory with their,
right,
own life lessons, so that may or may not,
we're not always
include
ready,
those things.
We're,
yeah,
not always ready to know those, yeah, things about ourselves.
Yeah.
And that's a very important point, is that any self-discovery is a tricky path because you're not always going to be stroked in nice ways. There's so much about my own self-discovery. There's so many truths in my human design that I'm not happy with. And I can't erase it. I don't have denial in my chart, so I can't go into denial about it. And it's, some of it is painful. And yet, the best I can do is look for the silver linings, look for the parts of it that strengthen me in other ways that aren't so simple and easy.
Well, one thing that, you know, I'm a projector in human design, and it's a very different type of person. And thank God I found my human design, because it really reconciled my life and what has happened in my life and how I operate in life. And it's really taken away the quote-unquote blame, or, you know, those types of guilt or things in my life.
And that goes in relationships, because my wife is, yeah, a projector, and there's so many ways that she operates it. As a generator, it's not like me.
Mm.
And I look at that and I go, wait a minute, I don't approve of that kind of way of acting,
mm-hmm,
and yet that's what projectors do. And so then I have to say, oh, that's right, you're a projector. Go ahead.
Yeah,
fine.
But, you know, and it's funny, because we were talking about resistance in human design, and one of the things is I had to learn in my process, I had all this great insights to share. I'm here to share insights and to guide people. I mean, that's my design. But it's through invitation. So right. as long as I'm invited and it's correct for me right. then to share that, then I don't get the resistance or you meet from, because if I just blatantly shout out stuff to people about here's human design, then I get all kinds of resistance.
Yeah, yeah. And it's amazing how we bump into so many aspects. Well, human design is very elaborate. There's tons and tons and tons of details. Yeah. And so when you start finding all of those things, we can really dissect ourselves and each other in ways that are so helpful. And yet it's what I said earlier about self-discovery being tricky is that, you know, it can be deflating. Yeah. And in other ways too. You know, on Saturday I finally had a power animal. I did a shamanic journey, and a power animal showed up for me, and very powerfully just grabbed me by the shoulder and said, "I'm it," you know. And it's like, and I was hoping, I was looking for an elk or something. I would like more of that physical power, and yet an owl showed up.
Very wise.
Yeah, well, I mean, I get it. I know that's why I do a radio show. I do believe in my brain, yeah. But I would love more of that power in life that another animal might have had, other kinds of power. And other people might say, well, I'd rather have the owl. But I am the owl, so I can't say, well, I like the owl. I don't like. I am the owl. I just don't eat rodents and insects.
Yeah. You know, you touched on something earlier in the beginning about...
We only have a couple of minutes, by the way.
The other thing I would just say for people is that, you know, we do have a process and it's a commitment sometimes. And I think sometimes the timing and the commitment to really work on oneself, you know, it makes people resistant too. Because it is and also they'll be alone maybe. And people don't like to be alone sometimes, so they'll, you know, maybe not want to partake because it's just such a potentially isolating process
to work on oneself.
Oneself,
yeah. So there are so many different ways that we all look at it because we're designed so differently. We're almost near the end of the show, and I want you guys to talk a little bit about yourselves and you know, take about 30 seconds each.
Well, Peter, I'm really blessed to have, you know, met you and discovered my intuitive abilities through the work that we do. And much of the work that I do is really still patterned off of what I originally learned from you. How we can discover where people's resistances are simply by intuiting and improving to them with muscle testing, applied kinesiology, and then using simple language ideas that talk to that resistance, and using simple repatterning scripts like what emotional freedom technique does to completely reverse the energy of it. So that's really empowering for people. And, of course, I've extended that into my skiing and my golf programs.
So that's the work that I do. Steve Gottlieb, how can people reach you?
Well, if you go to empoweryourtrueself.com, you'll get my contact info.
Okay.
I'm at stevegotts@earthlink.net, and my phone number is 914-997-7873.
Thanks so much, Steve. Mark Germain.
Hi. Like Steve, I learned my intuitive side and got into that with you, Peter. And then also, and you gave me my first human design reading, which then branched me into that direction, too. So if anyone needs any type of intuitive counseling that includes human design, you could reach me at 516-423-4254.
Great, Mark. Thanks so much. This is so enjoyable. You guys are great, and I'd love to talk about this kind of subject matter. We could talk all day long, couldn't we?
Maybe we should do this again.
I'm sure. And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com or PRN.FM. And I can be reached at peter@heartriver, heartriver.org, or at 212-222-7748. And thank you so much for listening.